different tonight because we are no longer in Psalms. I should have gone back to the exact date. I want to say it's over 4 years ago we began Psalms, finished it last Sunday, last Wednesday night. And so it's been a four-year trek. It's been a wonderful 4 years going through Psalms. So we're just going to follow suit chronologically and go to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to spend some time there. I think the Lord will have me stay in Proverbs until we are past this virus. May I continue through? I don't know. I've really been a burden about getting into the tabernacle. Years ago, we purchased a mini tabernacle. It probably was about 24 inches by 18 inches, and it's all to scale. It has all the fabric, has all the instruments. And I preached on it years ago, probably going back when we were 2 years old, if even before, and I just felt led to do it again. It's been such a long time. But I don't think I'm going to do that until people are here and can see the whole tabernacle. So until then, we'll be in Proverbs, I believe, unless God changes my direction, which he often does. Amen. But I want to tell you, it's a special night. Anybody know who's here, can tell me what April 8th means in relationship with Grace Baptist Church? April 8th. Hallie J. Yes, today we are officially 8 years old. So we're going to sing happy birthday to Grace Baptist Church. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Woo! Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Grace Baptist Church. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we would have had a big to-do last Sunday, but because of the coronavirus, we didn't. So what we're doing, we're grouping the anniversary with next Sunday, which is Easter Sunday, or this coming Sunday when the hearts are here, and I'll bring it up again and mention that to you. But I am thankful and blessed. It's been 8 years. I can't believe how fast time flies. And so for those of you who are watching via live stream, some of you, praise the Lord, you can remember back when you first came to Grace, and of course, how long you've been here. Maybe some of you who don't attend Grace, maybe you need to start coming, praise the Lord. That'd be a blessing, and of course, that'd be wonderful. So, all right, Proverbs chapter 16 tonight. Proverbs 16, verse 15. My on, Caleb, my on, buddy? All right, thank you. Proverbs 16, verse 15. Amen, so good. If those of you, most of you got the text message about the Easter egg hunt we're doing Friday and Saturday. Those of you who are watching via live stream, we are doing an Easter egg hunt on Friday and Saturday. You're probably saying, Pastor, how in the world you can do that in keeping in line with the stay-at-home order or the social distancing less than 10. What we're doing on Friday, I want to say from 3 to 6, and Saturday from 10 to 2, if you want to come, we're going to have where the basketball court is, we're having an Easter egg set up, and you need to call if you want to come. Parents, you can bring your children, or if you can bring grandchildren, you can be nieces and nephews, 12 and under, all those people can come be a part of it. You need to just text me or call me on the church, 217-224-4055, and let me know what time you want to come, between 3 and 6 on Friday or 10 to 2 on Saturday. And all you do is you show up at that time on the basketball court. You come to the basketball court with your car, and only you and your family will get out of the car. No one else will get out. You know what? If there's more than one car here, we'll do one car per one at a time per cars, and therefore keep the social distancing in effect. You'll get out of your car. There'll be a bunch of Easter eggs in and around the basketball court. Each child will grab 10 Easter eggs. There'll be bags there and eggs there. I'll be there with a couple of my kids, again, 6 feet apart. And you can grab your eggs. And you can get going back in the car and take off. And praise the Lord, you got your Easter egg hunt in. And then the next family will come. And therefore, we can have an Easter egg hunt. Every child can get their Easter eggs filled with candy. That's our plans there. So again, if you want to come be a part of it, you need to please text me. Preferably text me if you can. 217-577-3763. Text me there. My cell number there. And then at that point, you can tell me when you're coming, and we'll make sure we're ready for you on Friday or Saturday. We want to be a blessing to you if we can. Also, I'll leave it there for the announcements. But again, if you want to come, let me know what day and time you're coming, Friday or Saturday. Final announcement: the Harts, Brother Jeremiah Hart, his wife and children will be here with us on Sunday, 11 a.m. service. They'll be singing a bunch of songs. He'll be preaching at 11 a.m. and then at 5 p.m. the same thing. They'll be singing and preaching, and that will be, I'll enjoy their fellowship. Some folks had asked me, I'm not telling you this because I'm trying to prime the pump or looking for money necessarily. But people ask me, how do we give a love offering? If you want to give a love offering, you can bring it, give it to me after. You can give it to me before. You can go through PayPal on the website. You can do that. Any way you want to do it is fine. But people have actually asked me, Pastor, what do we do about love offerings? And that's the answer to that. You can just get it to me before, after, or via PayPal and mention love offering. That way, it will be all reimbursed to the love offering we're giving the hearts when they're here. So if you have any more questions, let me know about that. All right, I am done with announcements. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 15, if you would. When you found you could, would you please stand? And that one verse, Proverbs 16, 15, says this. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and in his favor, excuse me, is as a cloud of the latter rain. And tonight, we're doing a topical study on the simple word, king. Kings, have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. I thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege we have to come before you. I pray you bless the dear people here in the church house and those via live stream. I pray you be with them. Help us be helped from your word tonight. We love you and thank you. Now also we ask in your name, amen. God bless you folks. You can be seated. All right. It's good to see you. Thank you again for coming. Again, as I mentioned, we're doing a topical study. So pretty much we're going through, we're not going to go through all of them, but we're going to pick out several verses to have the word king mentioned in it in the book of Proverbs. You saw the word king mentioned in Proverbs 16, 15. So let me give you a brief introduction if I can. Even though we view a king as someone who leads a tribe or leads a country or leads a nation, in the truest sense of the word, king is anyone in authority. So a king is anyone in authority. The many principles taught concerning the king in Proverbs are lessons to be learned by anyone in leadership. Hey, if you're a parent, you're in authority. If you're a husband or a wife, or your husband, you're authority. If you are a wife or children, you're an authority. If you are an employer, you are an authority. If you have nieces or nephews underneath you, you are an authority. Listen, if you have people underneath you, you are an authority, and therefore this message will be a help to you for sure. And again, if you don't have anyone underneath you, if you have no children underneath you, if you don't have any business people underneath you, maybe eventually you might have that, so this message also can help you as well. Proverbs here teaches us what a good king does and does not do, those a king likes and dislikes, and how to be established as a king. We're not going to look at all those tonight, but if you looked at found every verse in the book of Proverbs where the word king is mentioned, again, you'll find what a good king is and is not, how he's liked and disliked, and how to be established as a king. All those are mentioned in Proverbs. A leader is a leader. I'm going to use the word leader, which also refers to king here. A leader is held accountable for their words and actions far more than followership. Meaning, if you are in leadership, you're more accountable for your words than someone that is not in the position of leadership. James chapter 3 and verse 1 says this. James 3 verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Meaning what he's saying is, listen, hey, if you are a leader, you're a master, James 3 verse 1, there's a lot more you're going to be held accountable for by God than those who are not leadership. Why? Because you have people underneath you. You're going to affect someone else. You are going to be an example to them, whether good or bad. I'll never forget Dennis Rodman. So we know him. I think he played years ago for the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA. He said this, I am not a role model. It's not true. Everyone, to some degree, is a role model, whether you like it or not. And he was a role model. In my opinion, not a very good one, but he certainly was a role model. And whether you liked it or not, he was. So anyone can be a leader or a role model. But leaders should be godly. They should be righteous, and they should be good examples to followers. For example, let me give you an example. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 and 20. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 and 20. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 17, God gave specific exhortation concerning Israel in getting a king. Again, a king was a leader. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 to 20. I'll give you a second to find it. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 and 20. It says this in verse 14, beginning in verse 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. Right off the bat, you need to pick someone who God set in place. Look at, hey, if you're a leader, it's God ordained. Okay, I'll continue on here. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. So he said, listen, you need a king who was a fellow Israelite. Shalt thou set a king over thee? Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. I'm thinking of one person in the Bible who had many, many wives, who was a king. His name was Solomon. He didn't follow that. Continue on. And that his heart turned not away. What happened to Solomon? His heart was turned away because of his wives. If he followed this, he would have been okay. Continuing on here. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. He was a very wealthy man, Solomon was. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of the law, this law, in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdoms, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Listen, my friend, the biggest danger of becoming a leader, you get the big head. People following you, and you get the big head, and you think you feel pride, and that's the worst thing that can happen to you. Because we know that what happens to that haughty spirit, or has that prideful look, that you know that comes right before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. And I'm paraphrasing the verse there. But we understand when you feel a pride, right before, after that comes your fall. Now, let me make an application from this if I can. For all those who are in a position of leadership, one commentator said he believes one of the most important rules to follow for those of a leader or for those who are in authority is found in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 and 19. In verse 18, halfway through the verse, says this, write him a copy of this law in a book. He's talking about God's word. And verse 19 begins by saying this, and it shall be with him, he shall read therein all the days of his life. I believe this commentator said one of the most important things or necessary things for a leader to do is to read and apply God's word. You read it every day. And why? Because that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. One of the greatest things a leader can do is to take God's word every day and read it and live it, to keep yourself humble before the Lord. Whether we lead one or 1,000, whether our authority is at home, work, or church, we should strive to be a good leader doing right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, let me expand on that comment by saying this. To be very good at giving orders, you need to be very good at receiving orders. Humility. And there is no better person to receive orders than from God and his word. If you can follow God's word, if you can follow God, you're a good candidate for staying and becoming a good leader, because you keep yourself humble. If you're going to lead, you gotta learn how to serve. An excellent leader is an excellent servant. And a bad leader is a bad servant. The minute a leader stops following God's word, their effectiveness as being a leader begins to diminish. You might disagree with me, friend, but let me say this if I can. You might disagree with this next statement. But I believe you can find, you take any leader across this world, saved or lost, And if they're a good reader, a good leader, the reason why they're a good leader is because they are following biblical principles, whether they know it or not. I'll say it again. You find any leader that's a good leader, whether they're saved or lost. And the reason why they're a good leader is because they're following biblical principles. They might not realize they're following biblical principles, but they are, and that makes them a good leader. Why? Because God said you follow this book, make you a good leader. Okay? So that's kind of interesting. And I personally believe that. You might disagree with that, but I believe it all in my heart. All right, now, before we look at some of the verses in Proverbs where the word king is used, let me say, as mentioned in the introductory paragraph, a king is anyone in authority. So if you are under the sound of my voice and you have authority over a person or people, if you're a husband, you're a father, you're a mother, a teacher, a manager, etc., then these apply to you. You want to take note. And again, if you are not in any of those positions, you're not wearing any of those hats, you still want to take note because one day you might be in a position of leadership. All right. So let's look at some of these verses here tonight if we can. And I'm not some of these verses I'll spend more time than others, and I'm not going in any chronological order, just bringing them up as God put in my heart to mention them. The first one is Proverbs 16, verse 12. Go there if you would. Proverbs 16, verse 12. It's an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Okay. If you are a leader, you need to have the mindset, I am just going to do right. And one of the greatest reasons why, of many reasons why, because God said so, you honor God. But the reason I'm thinking about, that's one of them, obviously. Another good reason is because there's always someone coming after you. And if you're a leader, you're leading somebody. I'm just going to do right. Proverbs 16, verse 12. Proverbs 16, verse 12. You found it. Proverbs 16. I'll give you a second to find it. Some of you are looking for Proverbs 16, verse 12. Abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. So, again, and especially in this techno-savvy world, people can always watch and follow others. There's always someone following, my friend. So have the mindset, I'm just going to do right regardless, because there's always somebody watching you. And usually, there's somebody watching when you don't think they're watching you. So always do right. Remember the example I gave, I've used it before in the past in preaching. There was a husband, dad, he was in a home with his children, and all his family was in bed, his kids were in bed. It was maybe Tuesday night or Wednesday night or whatever, or Thursday night, whatever. It was 10 or 11 at night. He's watching TV, flipping through the channels. Remember, as far as he knew, his kids were in bed, sleeping. He's flipping through the channels on his TV. Unbeknownst to that father, one of his sons had come down and had snuck into the den where dad was watching TV because the son was curious, what is dad watching? Just curious. His curiosity got the best of him. Dad's flipping through the channels. He comes across a TV channel that was inappropriate. Maybe someone was dressed wrong. Maybe they were saying a cursing, whatever. And the man immediately turned away and flipped the channel, not realizing behind him someone was watching the whole time what dad was doing. What if dad got caught up in that TV show and watched something inappropriate? He would realize his son saw what his dad was doing. So have the mindset, someone is always watching. Always watching. Listen, just do right because it never pays to do wrong. Charles Spurgeon said this, Christians can never sin cheaply. They pay a heavy price for iniquity. Transgression destroys peace of mind, obscures fellowship with Jesus, hinders prayer, brings darkness over the soul. Therefore, be not the serf and bondman to sin, a bondman of sin. It never is right to do wrong, ever. And sin, listen, you can never sin cheaply. I love how Mr. Spurgeon said that. So again, number one, we saw number one there. It's an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. Let's look at another verse. Go to Proverbs 25, verse 5. Proverbs 25, verse 5, if you would. It says, Take away the wicked from the before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Proverbs 25, verse 5. This verse deals with the people that are before or serving the king. If you remove those who are wicked, then the king will have a righteous and godly kingdom to lead. Listen, I'm going to say a statement here. I'm not trying to contradict this point. I remember Lee Robertson said this: everything rises and falls with leadership. And I believe that. I really do believe that. But the attitude, and actions of the people following the king or leader will dictate the type of climate the king will lead in. If you are a king and you go to a country that has a bunch of haughtiness, a bunch of wickedness, you are going to a kingdom that's full of wickedness. Yes, you can change that as a king, but for that time being, you are now in a situation where the people have determined the climate. Remember Josiah. Josiah, he was a young king when he became king of Judah. That was a very wicked, wicked kingdom he had. And that man, for years, had to clean that thing up. Got rid of idolatry. Got rid of the wicked priests from the land. He had a clean house, but for a while, the people there set the climate. Let me show you an example. Go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says this: if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You notice that the verse does not say, if my leader. The outcome of God's healing is God's people, not. And frustrated at the political leaders we have in office, but the bottom line is they're there. Usually, the reason why they're there the majority of the time is because the people voted them in to be there. So again, my people. So again, we understand if you take the wicked away, if you take away the wicked from the before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Hey, the people determine the climate. The king can change that because he's a leader and he's the one in charge, and he can make things to help dictate and get rid of the wickedness. But again, we have to have the people doing right to get God's healing on the land. Next verse. Go to Proverbs 29, verse 4. Proverbs 29, verse 4. Another example about the king. Proverbs 29, verse 4. It says this: the king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. Okay, in this verse, you see that a king's judgment and decision-making can be perverted based on bribes and material gifts. Look at the verse again. The king by judgment established the land. So his judgment determines what rules are set in place, but he receiveth gifts overthroweth it, meaning. So let's look at that verse. Basically, you have a king, a leader, based on his common sense, his judgment, will put laws in place, but that judgment can be perverted based on bribes, receiving gifts, and overthrow with that judgment. Let me illustrate the point by saying this. You ever take a bat, and I know this was a kid sometime when I was a youth pastor, I took with our teenagers, I took a bat, had the kids take their head and put it on the bat, and put the bat on the ground. They spin around and around with that bat. After about 10 or 12 times, when they stand up, do one of these numbers. They're going back and forth like they had one too many root beers. It's kind of a joke there, okay. but look at what happens. Because of that, they're all over the place because they're dizzy. Now, use that illustration in mind. Our judgment is like the balance in a sense that judgment is based on how we view things, and if how we view things is off, like a dizzy person, it's going to affect our decisions or our judgment. Be careful about taking bribes if you're in leadership. Hurt your judgment. The Bible helps to keep your view on things correct or keep you balanced. Psalms 37 verse 23 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." The Lord. You take a person who leads, one of the greatest leaders are those who are consistent. They don't take bribes. They don't let people coerce them, and therefore their judgment is not affected. The next one, go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 15. Proverbs 16, 15. There's a different word, different places in the book of Proverbs where the word king is mentioned. Proverbs 16, verse 15. "In the light of the king's countenance is life, and in his favor is as a cloud of latter rain." Look, the way that verse talking about the way of the leader's countenance is, whether it's happy or sad, will actually draw favor or lack thereof on the people who are following that king or that leader. And his favor is as a cloud of latter rain. So here again, here in this verse, if a king or a leader favors you, it's like that cloud of latter rain. What does latter rain mean? Latter rain refers to the spring rain over in Israel. That spring rain was beneficial to mature the crops. And God says a king's favor is beneficial like the rain. So listen, let me, you're probably saying, I don't understand, Pastor. Let me put it in perspective to a parent. Parents, hey, do we as leaders act towards our children in such a way that they long for or desire our favor? Do we show favor towards our kids? Or are we also always so harsh towards our children? I think of Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. It says this, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Listen, I'm all for, as a parent, laying the law down and being strict with our kids. But my goodness, you got to show love. You've got to. There's got to be love there to your children. There has to be, because, again, his favor is as a cloud of latter rain. And so there's got to be love there for our children. Hey, show your children regular love and favor. By the way, you can force your children when they're young to follow you, but they won't do that forever. They won't. If you're leading your children is based on being harsh and stern, and it's all that is, just harsh, 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 stern, 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 they will not follow you forever. I promise you that. No one wants to follow someone who's constantly beating them down constantly. But they will honor and follow you, parent, if they know they are loved and receive your favor. Because again, look at that verse there in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 15. "And his favor is as a cloud of latter rain." That good, maturing, helpful favor. And you want a leader or a parent who has that wonderful, loving favor towards their kids. That's another one. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 8. Proverbs 20, verse 8. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. That verse tells us that the king, there are some leaders, or in this verse, a king that has so much influence and such a connection with the people that people can tell by his eyes if he is not for something and is wrong and sinful. There are some leaders that have such good leadership and such a connection with the people that they know just by his eyes if he's for or against something. If I can put it like this, a leader who is consistent in their staying away from evil and removing it from their presence will develop such a reputation for their hatred for sin to the point that people who are following that leader will know by their eyes that something is good or not good. That's a good leader, my friend. I think when I was preparing this part of the message, Vice President Mike Pence came to my mind. Vice President Pence has such a testimony, in my opinion, that people know that man's a Christian just by his testimony. And so you can tell just watching him, you see his eyes, the way he talks, I believe you can tell. And maybe, again, I know it's on TV, I don't know him personally, but those who know him personally know just by his body language or even his eyes for that matter, if he's for or against something. I love his testimony. That man will not walk into a room by himself with another woman, if he's alone with them, if his wife's not present, he wants to keep such a godly testimony before the Lord. Praise the Lord for a leader like that. I praise God for that. And so again, a king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. And again, if you have a king that, another way of looking at this, if you are a leader and you have such a hatred for sin and you're consistent, you consistently are trying to do best, do right, and stay away from sin, that you know that people know that if they are sinful towards you and you're a leader, they're going to want to stay away from you because they know you're not going to have anything to do with that sin. Based on your eyes, you're going to stay away from that. And again, I think of Mike Pence, Vice President Pence, and his good testimony there. So again, if some sin or evil was brought before the king or the leader, those who know that king all they have to do is look at his eyes and see where he stands for on that issue, whether it's good or bad, and we see that. So again, all right. So next one, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 28. Proverbs 20, verse 28. Proverbs 20, verse 28. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Mercy and truth preserve the king; they keep the king, if you will, and his throne is upholden by mercy. A merciful leader who is quick to forgive and quick to give his heart to those who are following him will be a leader that people desire to stay that way, stay in leadership. If you are a leader where your majority of your being a leader is based on mercy and truth, quick to forgive others, quick to pardon, I believe you'll be that type of leader people want to have as leader for a long time to come. By the way, we serve a Heavenly Father who is quick to forgive. We serve a Heavenly Father who's quick to pardon us, if you will. Rich in mercy. I praise God for a king like that, our Heavenly Father. And so too should be a leader that like that to others. Quick to forgive. Quick to have mercy. Not being one that holds grudges. To forgive and forget. So be a leader. We must always show mercy. We need to stay close to God. And by the way, in order to do that, be the type of king to show mercy, or type of leader to show mercy, we need to stay close to God to help keep our hearts tender towards the Lord. Because here's the problem. Here's the problem with this. And some of you probably can raise your hand here. And this is one of the, I wanted to hit this point before I move on. If we're not careful, as though if we're in leadership, if we're not careful in this crazy world that is filled with people who can take advantage of you, who are hurtful towards you, if we're not careful, in this crazy world, we ourselves will get just as hard like the world. And if we allow ourselves to get hard and callous like the world, we will not show the mercy to others like we need to. Be careful of that. We can let the world and all the anger and the hurt and the negativity get into us and make us just as callous and unmerciful and unforgiving like the world, and then we're not being that leader we need to be. Mercy and truth preserve to keep the king. Fill with mercy, fill with truth. Want to forgive and want to do right. Don't let the world get into you. Be careful. The only way to do that is staying close to God and help keeping us away from the world. In a sense, we don't let it invade us, if you will, and change our hearts to become hard like the world. Proverbs 31, verse 3. Two more this evening. Proverbs 31, verse 3. Two more to go. It says this: give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Okay, what does this mean? God, let me say this. God has ordained it that men lead in the home. That's how God set it up. Okay? And by the way, this is a verse. Only the people who are the ones who have a problem leading or following have a problem with these type of verses. I don't have a problem with it. I have no problem teaching on this verse. But God has ordained it that men lead in the home. Now, if that was reversed and the women led in the home, it's not as God has ordained it. And you see here in the verse, verse 3 says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth king. Now listen. Anytime this topic is mentioned, it can be cause tension. Again, those people usually who don't want to lead or don't want to follow. But let me say this. A man who leads a woman or a husband who leads a wife is not where, this is how it should not be done, okay? Where a man uses that woman like a doormat because he wants to flex his muscle. That is not leading. It's not leading. That's forcing. Difference. That's not biblical leading. The husband needs to lead according to Ephesians 5, verse 25, which says this: husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look, if you're going to lead, you got to serve. Like I said earlier, there'll be a whole bunch of love with leading. But let me also say this: a woman who is not willing to honor and follow her husband, assuming he's leading correctly, is just as wrong as a man who is a dictator. This is wrong. Because again, this is what the Bible says, what God said. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. If you let the woman lead in a husband relationship, with a husband-wife relationship, or the wife lead, you're going to destroy the home. Destroy the home. Okay? And again, I know there's exceptions to that rule. If you have a situation where you have a single family home where there's no man in the home and they have just a woman there, then that's different. I understand that. I get it. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says there. Okay. So be careful you don't flip-flop the ordained way God has set it up, ordained it, the man leading the home and the woman following the man. But again, leadership for a husband to lead, his leading has Christ loved the church and gave himself for it with a whole bunch of love. If you're going to lead, you've got to be willing to serve. And a woman's got to be willing to follow that. To follow that. It's done right. Okay, so this applies both to the husband and the wife. All right, now moving on. Last one. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 35. Proverbs 14, verse 35. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. But like this, according to that verse, the king loves his favor, or his love, what he appreciates, is the wise servant. Folks, listen. A wise or good servant to a leader is like you having a car that is always dependable. You can always count on it. Now, let me say this for those of us who are in leadership. If you, again, are a husband, if you're a mother, if you're an employer with employees underneath you, if you are in any position of leadership, I think you'll agree with me when I say this next statement. You cannot put a price tag on someone who serves you or who is dependable and trustworthy. That is priceless. For someone who's willing just to help you and serve you and be a blessing, if you're in a position of leadership, that is priceless. You can't put a price tag on it. For the parent who has a dependable son or daughter, is a child who will be sorely missed when they eventually leave the home. Of course, they'll come back and visit. But again, as a parent in my home, man, I appreciate the children in my home who are the ones who are willing to follow and listen to their daddy. You can't put a price tag on that. For the pastor who has laymen who are dependable and trustworthy, are laymen who bring much comfort and joy to that pastor. I've spoken from experience, by the way. I tell you what, my friend, for the layman who is willing to follow their preacher and say, listen, preacher, I want to be a blessing to you, that is a layman who brings much comfort to their preacher. And I can't stress that enough. Praise the Lord. But the opposite is also true. If you have someone under you who you cannot count on, that is a grief to that leader and will cause them shame and heartache. I think of Proverbs 25, verse 19 says this. Proverbs 25, 19 says this. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You ever sprain your ankle and try to step on your ankle? You can't put weight on it. And God says if you try to depend on someone who is not dependable, it's almost like putting weight on a broken ankle or a twisted ankle. It's not dependable. Be dependable. And by the way, all of us are always following someone. We all follow God. Can he depend on us? Can he depend on you? So that's just some thoughts for you tonight. I want to give you a few thoughts here this evening. Let me wrap it up with a word of prayer about this position of being a person of leadership or in leadership. And by the way, men and women both are in positions of leadership. Even some kids are in positions of leadership. They have kids underneath them. always be that king or that leader, that you can be a leader of always where you have a love in your leadership, willing to serve. By the way, and for those who are underneath, or if those of you who are serving, be that one you want to serve those who are over you. I promise you are priceless, and they will help, will appreciate and love the fact you're willing to serve them in that capacity. Let me ask you all, bow your heads and close your eyes if you would this evening.